Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's call to order the regular meeting and public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. First, I'd like to just introduce our guests and our staff that we have tonight. From our Economic Development Department, we have our Community Economic Development Director, Jana Estep, our Senior Planner, Jamie Burrell, our Project Manager from Public Works, Mike Sippo, and our council member and Mayor Pro Tem, Council Member Rosen. Thank you for joining us. First item is to discuss our updates to our docket requests. This meeting is being recorded, and the recording will be available on the city's website, as well as the minutes will be available following the meeting. First, we're going to go over our minutes. We'll have a public comment period on non-agenda items, and we'll get any staff updates or reports, and then we'll open up our public hearing. And the way we're going to do tonight's public hearing is, for each docket, you will each be given 3 minutes to speak on each item. Okay, so normally there's a 3 minute comment period, but we will give you 3 minutes per docket number, and we'll call you by docket 1, 2, 3, 4 as we go forward, and you'll speak for each one that you want to speak. Okay. Once the Planning Commission makes a recommendation, it moves on to the City Council. We are a recommending body, and the City Council will hold another hearing if they want to, and also provide another opportunity for you to provide input and feedback. With that,
The only other thing to add is that at the table back there, we have a packet of the Planning Commission packet. We have extra 11 by 17s of zoning map, and that identifies the docket locations if there are locations that are zoning specific all here now on the map. If you can't hear me, let me know. The other item there is a consolidated comment list from anybody who submitted written comment ahead of time. There are 11, and there was one received this afternoon. So that would be added to the record as comment 12. So we received 12 written comments ahead of this hearing. And there's a sign-in sheet that we can use, or we can also, you can just stand or
First item on our agenda is to approve the minutes of the May 11, 2017 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
Motion has been moved and seconded. Are there any comments or changes? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of approving minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. It's unanimous. Before we get into public comment on non-agenda items, I just wanted to ask the staff, there appear to be two items in our packet of additional possible work plan items. Will those be introduced to us tonight? It's on the SEPA thresholds and North Bend sign regulations, or is that just...
No.
A, no? Okay.
Carry over from...
Got it. Okay. Okay, next item on our agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Planning Commission on something that is not on tonight's agenda? Please state your name and address for the record.
Jane Butler, 46226 Southeast 139th Place, North Bend. And since I'm from the South, I kind of have to start with a story. I want to illustrate a point about North Bend's EP1 and EP2, which means the industrial zones. And it begins with a story back from my childhood. A large family gathered around a Christmas table. Among the large family were a grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter. Just before they started chowing down on the ham, the granddaughter, the granddaughter turns to her mom and asks, "Why do you always cut the end off the ham?" The mother responds, I don't know. And then she turns to her mother and says, Mom, why did you always cut the end off the ham? And the grandmother responds, because my pan was this big. Okay, so sometimes we do things today for reasons that might not be relevant anymore. And my question is, if EP1 and EP2 designations might fall into that category. My point being is that no one is actually sure right now. We're looking, and so is city staff, where we got the EP designations in the first place. The city clerk's working on it. I'm actually meeting with her in the morning. We think it goes back to like 1997, maybe before then, when that the land, some of the land in North Bend was annexed, but we're not sure. Historically, North Bend was a logging town in need of infrastructure to get those logs to the market. Trucking and rail were major parts of industry and culture. But now, North Bend, I understand, is envisioning the town as a community that wants to keep our rural character and wants to become a premier outdoor destination. And I would argue that industrial land use is incongruent with such a vision and mission. I wanted to find out what other destination cities were doing relative to EP1 and EP2, or those industrial codes. So I called them. I talked with planners at, for example, Leavenworth. They don't allow industrial zoning because they consider it incongruent with their city's brand and vision. Quote, industrial use is inconsistent with maintaining and protecting our city's brand and vision. The city has no heavy industry zones and only light industry zones where the city has its own buildings and warehouses. And it says, industrial use and zoning is especially incongruent when in proximity to tourist attractions. And so I point out that we've got this huge swath of EP1 and EP2 right at the quote-unquote gateway of the Middle Fork expansion, where we expect tourists will come and do their backpacking thing, etc. The second city that I talked with was San Juan. And again, they don't allow industrial zones. Only the businesses that have been grandfathered in, like they have a lot of full quarries on the islands from the days when they were mining marble and quartz and such. But no new codes. Fort Townsend, same thing. They don't want industry to come to their city. And so they are pushing back on any kind of industrial zoning. Now, I said that, but
Ms.
I want to...
Yeah. Can you summarize? Yeah.
I'm done?
You can summarize.
I can summarize?
Comments. Yeah.
Okay.
You can kind of...
Okay. If anybody else has time that they give me, can I take that?
Not usually, no, but you can submit those comments for us to read, or you can send them by email.
We'll discuss it when we have that other meeting I told you about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wishes to make a public comment on something not on tonight's agenda?
Sure. My name's 1231 Forest Drive, SC. I've attended the previous two planning commission meetings, and I've raised a concern around the smaller residential developments near Hopstead. So you're called South that's going in. And I believe there's two others that have gone in. I know the large developments like Cedar Falls itself require small parks as part of their neighborhood. Cedar Falls South and the other two that have also gone in, because of their size, evaded the requirement for the park. And instead, we're actually able to pay fees to the city to avoid that park. I've raised in the past meeting about the load that's generated on Hopstead School Park. And I've received the answer as well, maybe you should ask the school to spend some more money there. But what I'm concerned about is the city taking developer park fees, and really, we're not getting any new parks near Hopstead. We need to do something to address small parks near Hopstead. And you know, I have some ideas. There's an excellent trail that goes along the levee there that might need some parking. Maybe there's some opportunities in that area as well. So I just want to express my concern that the developer fees that's been paid to the city, where are those funds being spent? And I'd like to see them spent closer to Hopstead because people use the parks that are nearest their home. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment.
there anybody else from the public that wishes to make a comment on something not on tonight's agenda? Yes, please state your name and address.
I'm Paul Mordahl, 425 Southeast Main Pole Drive. I just would like to request for an upcoming agenda for you guys to see about changing the parking units for a multifamily that we need more than two.
Is there anybody else that wishes to make a public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none. Okay, staff. Real quick, before we go into any of your report, I remember some announcement coming out about a parks meeting or a public meeting. Is there something coming up? Do you know?
There was on
No, I'm thinking this is specifically like the Parks Commission the Parks Commission is like hosting something.
The Parks Commission met last night. They're going to be at the farmer's market, I know.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I don't remember the exact nights, but there's three nights that the city's going to be. Yeah, it's on the city calendar.
And are they taking feedback, or what's the purpose?
Yeah, feedback. So,
okay.
How many guys have been on that? They're in the paper. I know they're publishing in the paper for all of our city notifications, website.
It's on Facebook.
Yes, yeah, right. Social media. And we are looking to hire a communications person.
Okay, next item on our agenda is the hearing for 2017 docket amendments to the comprehensive plan, land use, and zoning map. Jamie, would you like to give us an introduction?
Sure. I will go through the dockets and point things out on the map as we go. Like I said, there's 11 by 17s if you all want to hold your own. It's hard to see from so far, but I can hold this up. So our dockets, we published at the end of August. August 31st, we published and we allowed docket requests through October of last year. And it's our annual cycle to request if you would like to see comprehensive plan amendments or zoning amendments. And those can either be outside initiated from a property owner or anyone. In fact, it doesn't have to be the property owner. Or they can be recommended by a planning commission or city council. So for this year, we have a total of four that were outside initiated. Two are very similar in nature, so we'll kind of lump those together. And we have six that were recommended following council retreat. So we will. This is the map that is, again, hard to see from where you're at. So I will just go through one by one, and then we will have the public hearing. Like the chair said, we'll open the public hearing, but we'll discuss them individually for comments. So the first one is an outside-initiated request docket. To date, I have not met Mr. John Grucius, who submitted it. I'm not aware if he's here tonight to speak to the application. It's labeled on your map as this area just past the roundabout between North Bend Way and Cedar Falls Way. There are 13 parcels totaling 10 acres. And the request was a change to the zoning map. Right now, the zoning is LDR, low density residential, four units. That's what a lot of this distillery area is. And the request was to go to HDR, high density residential. A number of comments were provided in that packet that I mentioned for this docket. One property owner who lives within the area was in favor, and the other four comments recommended to deny the docket at this time. So that's number one. Number two, I said we're going to lump together. We have two requests from outside initiated parties. The parcels are, I don't have the same map you guys have, but it's parcels right in this area. And that is outside of our current city limits. It's in our growth area. And so the parcels would have to be annexed in, before this zoning could really take effect. It's a pre-annexation zoning. So prior to January 2006, these properties were zoned LDR, the 4 units per acre. And as part of our 2015 comprehensive plan amendments, we changed those properties, as well as all of these properties with hatches here that you see, some up here as well, to a and over here, to a CLDR, constrained low density residential, 2 units per acre. So from 4 to 2 units per acre. I'll summarize the code. The district is recognized for having larger lots or development constraint, such as frequently flooded areas, geologically hazardous areas, rivers and stream corridors, channel migration areas, wetlands, native wildlife and fish habitat. Density is limited to 2 dwelling units per gross acre. And the intent is to have larger estate-style lots, 18,000 square feet minimum. So there were 5 comment letters, again, for just these parcels. Just the parcels that submitted dockets. So there were 4, totaling 30.5 acres for docket number 2, and 1 parcel totaling 12.3 acres for docket number 3. 5 comment letters were received, all opposing the change. Our next docket is number 4. Also, this is our last outside initiated docket, and this is to allow a car wash to be permitted a permitted use within our EP1 zone as it currently is. The applicant does have a specific property in mind, and they provide the address for that, 43438 Southeast North Bend Way, but the docket would apply to all properties within our light gray, our EP1, and on the map, the property is right in this vicinity, just to the east of Mount Sy Road. The Planning Commission recommended initial approval at their April meeting, April 27th, following the hearing tonight. They discussed the permitted uses table and what zone they felt would best fit this car wash use. Car washes are currently allowed in our NB, neighborhood business, the blue areas, in the IC, which is a purple, at the interchanges, and IMU, which is this bluish color. The commission overall felt that taking this use out of the NB and adding it to the EP1 would be a better fit. No comments have been received on this topic. Number 5 is, so now the rest of the dockets were initiated from, the council had a retreat in January. Some of them are carryover from previous dockets or ideas. And so the number 5 is, was considered during the 2015 comprehensive plan amendment, and it was an outside initiated docket at that time. I believe the property owner is here tonight, and it's for properties along East North Bend Way. There are, one, two, three, 4 parcels that are zoned at the entrance of Torgerson Park. They're zoned LDR. They're in yellow here. And the proposal is to have multifamily with a density cap of 10 units per acre. Like I said, these properties have been discussed throughout the past, I would say, 3 years. And we received 4 comment letters, and all comments opposed the zoning change at this time.
How many comments?
4 comment letters were received. Number 6 and 10, we want together for this purpose. They both have to do with the neighborhood business zone, again, the blue zone. And this area up here is called it's an overlay district. So it's called that separately in our use table, but has that blue color. It was created from the neighborhood business zone. So the city council currently has a moratorium on acceptance of all applications and permits for single family dwellings. And if you have a single lot with a single home, that's exempt within, including the NB district. And the council committee is considering all the uses within the neighborhood business and this USOD area. This information will then be brought to the Planning Commission for their consideration in June. So we recommend, at this point, we went through the docket process with this hearing and everything, but we recommend that the Planning Commission wait to hear from the Council Committee next month before they make their decision. And no comments have been received on this docket. So the consideration is just what residential uses we want to see in these blue areas, or what changes we want to make to that zone. Anything to add? Okay, the next one, 7. Let me just take it.
Okay, 7. So 7 relates to the streets here, and specifically on 2 streets, North Bend Way and 140th. So 140th is the street that kind of runs in front of the New Tannerwood, Wood River, and then eventually into the Middle Fork. So that's one location. And then basically North Bend Way. So right now, North Fenway's design standards are set that as you go down the street in downtown, it's got one standard. As you get past the roundabout, it kind of changes. Recently, the city council has been specifically looking at the North Fenway corridor and in a kind of a desire to keep that rural character as much as possible as the street changes or any kind of development occurs. The desire was to increase the planter strip area and make it much more of a pseudo buffer to kind of separate the actual travel lanes and the vehicular space of the road from the sidewalk and what have you. So basically what this does is it takes what would be a standard sidewalk or planter strip where you just see grass, and the previous standard was 10 feet to make it 13 feet wide, and it now becomes a functional, what we call a biochannel, and that's planted to be much more natural looking, a lot more vegetation, more rural in character, and it also serves a stormwater function to help, you have 2 ways to do stormwater. You either pipe underground to a pond, or you do what they call these biochannels. And this is a more sensitive approach to the environment, which allows a more rural character. And then the next section is 140th. And 140th is actually a really interesting road. As you know, the north side of 140th is residential. The south side has a number of different zones. It starts out with EP1, which is the lighter industrial or lighter employment park, to neighborhood business, and then it goes into the EP2, the kind of the higher intensity employment park area. And then there's this overlay, which is similar to the EP2. It just does not allow warehouses, and so it's a little more restricted. But the interesting thing about 140th on the south side is, boy, it was probably 5 years ago, maybe, in an effort to make sure any development that occurred on those commercial properties was screened from view from the street to kind of protect that rural character, but also not impact the residents on the north. There was what we call a transitional landscape buffer put in place, and that buffer is a 40-foot section that starts at the back of the right-of-way and would go onto the private property when developed. And it's a buffer that would be revegetated, or if there's vegetation there, you could not plant, you could not remove the vegetation there. So because we are not expecting to see any commercial buildings ever built along 140th, and instead 40 feet of trees, what we've decided to do is, having parking on the south side of the road doesn't make sense because there'll be nothing to get out of your car and go into except for the trees. So what this proposal does is it removes the parking lane and takes what would be more of an urban approach to a sidewalk and actually allows the sidewalk to meander through the trees and ultimately kind of tries to look, mimic more of a rural character to maintain that kind of vegetated look on our corner for you. So that's those two dockets, or that number seven docket. Two more, and then we're giving it to you guys. Docket number eight, it was considered during the 2015 comprehensive plan amendment. The city council decided not to make a zoning change at that time. We're talking about the area over here, just to the east of 140th, this blue area that currently has neighborhood business zoning. It does contain a lot of residential development and a private street. The neighborhood business zone as it exists now would allow a lot of commercial uses and potential uses which may or may not pose a conflict with that. It could potentially be a mixture of things. Right now there is a small mixture of things going on. The proposed zoning change segregates the residential from the commercial that fronts North Bend Way. In addition to that, within this area, the Planning Commission looked at, there's two properties on the east end that are kind of triangular in shape. They are owned by the same property owner to the east, which is an EP2 zone. So there was consideration given to those two parcels to go from the blue to the gray, the NB to the EP2. And there were comments provided from the property owner, but no change was approved or recommended at that time. For this docket, we've had three comment letters that have been received, one in opposition, one generally in favor, not super strong about it, one way or the other, and one was seeking more consideration. And as part of the Planning Commission's recommendation, we would just ask that they consider, since we're looking at this area, those two parcels on the far east, what we would recommend there.
And what are we recommending there?
Well, there is right. No recommendation at this point that
the Planning Commission has a recommendation.
No.
I believe when it first came out, there was a recommendation to go to EP2. But you've got a couple of different things going on there with changes to LBR. Yeah, a couple of years ago.
This was a couple of years ago.
Right.
The history.
Yeah. So docket number nine. So this applies to EP1, the light gray, so it's not site specific, it's zone specific. And the EP1 right now allows upper floor dwelling units. And that's narrowly defined in the zone to be compatible and necessary for lower level commercial. And then there are multiple paragraphs that describe the intent of the zone as a commercial use, employment generating, and limiting any units to five per commercial building. So the consideration was, do we want to see any residential uses in EP1? And if not, then the permitted uses table would remove the upper floor dwelling units, so there would be no residential uses allowed.
Can you give me the code number for that regulation?
We can change the code. Go to the next slide. So, as we've kind of talked about already, how we were thinking this would work best is the chair will open up the public hearing for all dockets. We'll go through each docket asking for comments on that specific docket so that there's a lot to take in so we're not all getting confused. Number two and three we thought could be combined. Those are the ones, the CLDR to LDR, the 4 units to 2 units. They're essentially the same, just affecting different parcels right next to one another. So if you have comments on multiple dockets, you can get up again if need be.
Thank you very much, Jamie, for that wonderful introduction and the history. I appreciate it. I really don't have anything else to add. I couldn't be so more thorough than that. Before we get into the public hearing, just want to go over the rules. Each person is given 3 minutes to speak per item. Please state clearly your full name and address for the record. And we want to keep your comments to the Planning Commission, not to any member of the audience. With that, get my timer up. 7:34, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. First item for the public hearing is docket number 1 on our list, and the first person on our list is Ms. Beckner. Do you wish to speak to item number 1? LDR to HDR between East North Bend Way and Southeast Cedar Falls Way from the roundabout.
Docket number 1 is this area from John Ratchis, who submitted a request to consider the LDR to change to HDR.
Michael Thomas.
Here.
Yeah. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Michael Thomas, 41 Forest Drive. As far
Thank you. Okay, next person on the list is Ms. Thomas, Wendy Thomas. Do you wish to speak to docket number one?
Yes.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record.
Wendy Thomas, 721 East North Bend Way, and Washington, Maine. I actually live on one of the parcels that is in the docket request. Only 25 years ago, we purchased our home there, fully anticipating that at some point there would be a higher and better use at that particular parcel based upon its location on two major transportation corridors and its proximity to downtown and the fact that it was not in the floodplain. I moved here because we moved here because it was rural in character, and 25 years ago quite a bit more rural. However, in reality, living on I-90, in proximity to I-90 and 18, and the greater metropolitan Seattle area and Bellevue, I believe that you're going to see continued growth, and it's unavoidable to continue pushing further east. So it comes down to where do you want growth and density to occur in your city. And so I've spent over a decade on the City of Snoqualmie's Economic Development Commission and taking part in a number of visioning processes that they've had regarding these same questions. And so I would recommend that, to your point, in the last meeting, there's only 3% zone for multifamily. It is a great need in our community. That this particular piece of property is a very important downtown block. And if you were to zone it, if it remains LDR or it goes to HDR, it will allow for small subdivision to occur in that parcel, on those parcels, in that block, which I think is would be unfortunate in that I think that the highest and best use for that block is not LDR or HDR or small subdivision that would be allowed for those zonings. I think that it is actually a very appropriate place for density to occur because of those aforementioned characteristics, transportation, floodplain, other projects in close proximity. John Day Homes, I believe, has got a multifamily project that's very short distance away from there. I believe that docket number 5 is anticipatory in terms of a higher density type project. So I think it would actually be more beneficial for it to be zoned commercial to preclude small subdivisions and more residential to occur in that area, which I think will have the effect of, in the short term, allowing those residents who are currently there to remain until a person or an entity who is well capitalized and well prepared to do the kind of project that that block actually could benefit from comes forth. So I think it will take time for that to occur, and so that those property owners would have some time. And selfishly, I would probably benefit more from a commercial zoning in terms of the value of my property ultimately when I sold it.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Next person on the list is Tom Mary, is it?
Hello.
Please state
your name. 728 Southeast Cedar Falls. So, Wayne and Brian are actually one of our neighbors. We're also on one of the affected parcels. We don't necessarily oppose some sort of change like this someday, but we think that it's premature to entertain either a high density residential or Wendy's advocating for some sort of commercial or multifamily use. I guess my wife and I would like to kind of see what the impact is of the apartments going in the John Day's building. And I think something big is going on in the, for the Blast Side building.
Yes, 39 units.
Okay. So that's all kind of part of our neighborhood. I think we'd like to kind of see what the impact of that is over the next few years and see what the
for your comments. Next person on the list is Jim Graham, used to speak on docket number one.
Jim Graham, 681 East North End Way. I was with Tom and Wendy, live in that same parcel that's in Sacramento. We lived there 47 years, and I would just assume that it stays as LDR, at least in the immediate future. And I have a question. When the party requests a rezone like this, why was the whole strip included in that?
We can get in it, but if you want to finish your comment. Yeah, that's all. Do you want to answer the why did he choose the whole strip of land?
We don't know why he chose his docket to include the whole area, but as a citizen, there's two ways to propose changes to your municipal code. One is through the docket process, which is free. The other process, you can actually pay to submit a zoning or comp plan amendment process. So this person submitted it through the free process and has not been involved at all. So we don't know why he included the whole lot.
Okay, so it was the individual who...
Yes. It had nothing to do with the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he give any rationale?
He's been totally not existent. We don't know why. But we are required to process and have you guys weigh in on his proposal or his idea.
All right, next person on my list is Mr. Parsons. Do you wish to speak on docket number one? Okay. That go for both Jim and Ron then, right? Next person is Jim Sailors. Jim, wish to speak on docket number one?
Yes.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Jim Sailors.
Jim, could you focus over here so we get on the recording?
Oh, yes, okay. I'm Jim Sailors, and I live at 667 East North Bend Way. That's the home property right at the roundabout. And I am in opposition to this use of the property. And particularly for my home. I've lived there for 25 years, and my home was built in 1919, so it is historically probably one of the oldest homes in this town. And we have tried to maintain the rural character because our home is densely populated with trees and plants and small animals. We do not want to see it go any way, but the way it is. So maybe many of you who see my property know that we have a business on the property, and it has been approved through City Council many years ago. I could see a mixed use used for the property. Right now, the traffic is terrible. I can barely get out of my driveway most of the time. And when you turn it to high density, I can't imagine.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, is there anybody else who wishes to speak on docket number one? Please rise and state your name.
My name is Gary Yeager. I live at 805 Cedar Falls Way. I live at a piece of property directly to the south of the parcel in question here. As you just stated, the traffic on Cedar Falls Way and North Bend Way, both at that point, are just ridiculous. I see going to high density, I hear apartments, low income housing is what I hear. I know that could be other things, but that's what I hear. The cars, the parking that come along with apartments, just be ridiculous. There would be parking out
anybody else who wishes to speak on docket number one, please state your name and address for the record.
Some people may already know, but all friends, Brian Wolski, work at Way. The reason that this has come up at all was a guy named John Roaches who applied for this. He had an offer on a certain property in this area at that time, and Dennis is the job. He no longer has a dog to fight. So he really has no merit on this whole thing. So I just like to point out that the person who initially put this out there and no longer has to do it. That's very interesting.
Thanks. Anybody else for docket number one? Seeing none, we'll move on to docket number two and three, which is the Hegelson and Parsons items. Jean, would you like to go first?
I guess I have a question. Does this have anything to do with the area up north of ET1 over on the west side, as well as I drew a line between docket 2 and 3?
Right here, right?
Yeah, so these do not.
Okay.
The two individuals that these two dockets are associated with own property off of Maloney Grove, and they are asking that their two properties, which represents about 40 acres, be rezoned. So the request only affects like 40 acres in this area, since it's kind of right here.
I thought when Jamie talked about it, she also included some land to the north of DP on the west side. Can you explain to Jamie why?
Yeah, I was pointing out the overall CLDR zone where it exists.
Okay,
and then there is a different docket that has to do with that zone up there, too.
Okay, why are they treated separately?
This docket request was specific for those parcels.
So is there another docket request for the other parcel?
Not for the yellows.
That's just the zoning.
Right.
She was pointing out where it is on different zonings.
Okay.
So they want to move from 4.
So I'll see, just to be clear about this,
yeah. It was 4, it went to 2, and now they want to go back to 4.
Yeah. And it's only the proposed, so basically if you can envision, these people kind of just want this yellow, dark yellow, to be extended south over their property. The rest of the zone, which Jamie pointed out, does exist over here. That's not in this docket request. The docket request only affects 40 acres off Maloney Grove.
I guess the only question I would have is, there any difference in how we're treating the same zone in the west side versus the center east side of the city?
The zone is the zone, and wherever it's applied has the same rules, unless there's a little overlay. Okay, who would like to speak on docket number 2 and 3? Yes, Mr.
Parsons.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Ron Parsons, I live at 13819 402nd Avenue Southeast. That's at the end of the road. I can certainly understand people concerned about the growth in North Bend. I'm swallowed up in the Hilton annexation of McQuarrie. We decided to build 134 homes down in the what I consider a critical wetland area with streams and water and all that down there. I understand having that up, but they're being allowed to just cover all the ditches and everything else. But this piece of property that we're talking about is really a dry piece of property. It's really in a zone between Maloney's Grove Road and the Stilson Road. It's a growth area that the county and the state saw as 4 houses per acre. It's ideal for that. It's in a swath. All the neighborhoods around it are going to be 4 houses per acre. And has no wetlands, no creeks or anything on it. Either due to some of the parcels north of it, including Stephen Weber's, and also what's in Kenny Halverson's property to the south. Now, Kenny does have some parcels that do have creeks on it, but it's no different than the Quadrant Creek that you're allowing to be flattened and filled. So there's some reasons I think
this should be go ahead and change back to rezoning. One of them is, I don't believe any of the, one of these property rights, I don't believe any of the people that own those properties were properly notified of the zoning change. Two, it seems to me like the city just took a wide swipe of everything outside the urban growth area and decided we're going to just change that to 2 houses per acre. When part of the land, like my mom's place, is ideal for 4 houses per acre. The city in itself wants to cross over the land. They've got future roads going through it. They got a sewer that they want to run through it. And they got a 136 that they want to run all the way across it. So they basically, in the future, have decided to cut that piece out. My mom has no desire at all to develop the property. She just has been on it for probably 40 years now. She pays high amount of taxes. And all she wants to do, all I think it should be, is just zoned the way it should be zoned, and that's 4 houses per acre. The traffic in the town sucks, right? It always has sucked. It may have gotten better, but back in the 60s, on a weekend like this, from the stoplight, you could see cars as far as you could see that way, and on Sunday, you could see cars as far as you could see that way when the old highway went through. I grew up here riding my bicycle with cars going 70 miles an hour by you. I know that North Bend has problems with bike lanes, traffic lanes, but this is an ideal area here. These parcels, not just my mom's, not just part of Kennedy's, but Steve Weber's and the rest of the town that's coming this way should be allowed 4 houses per acre. It's all the neighborhood around it is 4 houses per acre. You know, why have this one little area inside of it that is now zoned, you know, an upper class neighborhood, I'll call it. So that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you. Anybody else who wishes to speak on dockets 2 and 3? Yes, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, hi, I'm Michael Thomas. I reside at 1231 the Forest Drive. And Steve, thank you for allowing me to speak a little bit on this. I submitted 16 pages of comments on dockets 2 and 3 in opposition to this change. I think a couple of things to summarize the submission in opposition is one, it certainly is not in line with running a rural lifestyle as a viable comprehensive plan. Just take a look at what's happened in all the LDR properties like Cedar Falls, Riverland, and the new one from Cedar Falls South. They don't have any possibility of preserving trees or space between homes. We're well beyond our growth management targets. So again, what is our target and where do we stand relative to the 2035 Growth Management Act? That concerns me. Also, not all the properties in this area are LDR. The Forest Home, for example, is even better than two homes per acre. There's other properties in this area that are well in an area that also are not LDR in that area. So that's that concerns me. The roads that support the growth there, Maloney Drive, Maloney Grove, and 432nd. Just take a look at the width of those roads and the homes along those roads.
everything's going to be covered by the development fees that ultimately are implied by this property. Sidewalks, safety of children walking up Hofstede. I mean, think about this here. These roads don't have sidewalks. So there's some grave concerns around pedestrian safety, roadway traffic, and the cost of widening those roads. And again, you know, I would ask that you do not support this change. Keep it sealed yard. It's more compatible with our rural density. It's certainly compatible with some of the properties in the area. And until we really do the roadway analysis and also look at the flood analysis, take a closer look at this and see, you know, are we putting more people in harm's way for flooding in this area, considering the studies are limited in this area? Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else wish to speak on dockets 2 and 3? Dockets 2 and 3 going once. All right. Thank you for your comments and your information. Next docket number is docket number 4. This is the amending of EP1 zone to include car washes as a permitted use. Anybody wishes to speak on docket number 4? Yes, sir. Please.
Thomas Merrick, the residence is at 2X South of Cedar Falls Way. I'm also a park owner at 43424 Southeast Brooklyn Way, which is adjacent to this parcel. We support this change. I heard it discussed that it could either be just a straight addition to the EP1 or a swap from the other business to EP1. We would support either one. You know, I've had my business in this town for about 10 years. I haven't seen hardly any, I can think of one small business and development project since I've been here. With Bart Hilton, but I don't consider that a small business. Anything that the city and council and the commission can do to encourage and help people plant business in this town, I think it's long overdue. So anything to accommodate somebody that wants to do that, I think should be supported. As far as us being a next door neighbor, car wash would be a great neighbor for our.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else on docket number 4? Yes.
I have a question. We have an existing car wash in Brooklyn, and we know that it's not serving the needs. Is there been a market study that says we need another car wash? I mean, I'm kind of wondering why we need another car wash.
Frankly, that's not the job of the Planning Commission.
It's not.
It's the job of that business owner to determine how successful he's going to be, right? And if he didn't see the need, I don't think he would be doing this process.
Maybe.
Maybe he's got a better project, but that's not for us to decide.
I would personally be opposed to a car wash in that area, and basically because we're trying to go the other way in terms of land use and adding that to EP1, which is already highly or semi-high industrial, to me is just throwing everything in EP1 and EP2 as opposed to sharing some of this development with other zones.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, anybody else for docket number 4? Okay. Docket number 5, which is the LDR zone property along the north side of North Bend Way, just west of Thrasher Avenue. Rezoned to multifamily with a density cap of 10 DU per acre. And just a question for staff. Multifamily normally is what per acre? How many dwellings per acre?
Basically, in the downtown store, it could be up to about 20.
So this is a half?
This is, yeah, 20 and more. This is restricted to a half.
If you want to speak during the public hearing, you can ask your question as part of your public hearing, and then at the end we'll get to questions, okay?
Excuse me, yes, ma'am. Say that again.
Sure.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So as Jamie said, this is the area. There's one, two, three, about four or five parcels on North Fenway, just past the roundabout. They've been zoned low-density residential for quite some time. The property owner has asked, has gone through this step about three times. There has been discussion over that over the years, and I think the Planning Commission has discussed it. I know the City Council has discussed it. Many groups that we've had, in public hearings have discussed where the density would be more appropriate, if density or if new multifamily style townhome was to happen in North Bend. And the desire or the logical space would be closer to the downtown core, where you have the ability to walk to services, walk to parks, so you have the opportunity, if you are going to have that, like the explosion site is redeveloping with ground floor commercial with apartment townhome style on top. That type of development in downtown allows people to move to meaningful services without their car. So it's a typical place to do that kind of density. So the topic is here solely to consider at, because it's on North Benton Way and then adjacent to the park. It's a consideration as the Planning Commission and then recommends to the council how to zone the downtown core appropriately. Just a consideration for discussion.
You okay? Does anybody wish to speak then on docket number 5? Yes.
Now that I understand the rationale, I'm very supportive of moving that designation. Because it is close to the downtown core and helping with traffic and that sort of thing, I still have, as I guess everyone does, the questions and concerns about traffic, which would be less in this situation. Sewer, water, schools, those kinds of issues that are ubiquitous, regardless of where we're talking. But overall, having that density in the city core, near the city core, is a better thing in my mind.
Thank you. Who else wishes to speak on docket number 5?
Sure.
Yes.
Michael Thomas, Fulbright, one of the first time this city. Presidential propose this change again. We're well over our presidential targets at this point. I actually might suggest that commercial use for this. This is close to the downtown core. Perhaps a few more businesses and services. I would have concerns with this density given the parking requirements. So where are the parking
please state your name and address.
Jim Sickers, 667 East North Bend Way. I certainly think that that is for the closing of the park, closing of the schools. There's a lot of positive things about that property. The property owner wants to do it, so that I think he should be allowed to do what he wants to do, where he wants to. One of the reasons why I think it should go is that the property owner should be allowed to have a big say in what he does with his own property. And and it's a lot better location across the street. So that's what I have to say about it.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else on docket number 5? Yes, sir.
Jim Graham, 68 North Bend Midway. This was about 2 years ago. There were 5 parcels. Now you see there are only 4. Is there a kind of change or change of ownership or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know what the conversation you're referring to is.
Jamie, I think you just counted wrong.
I might have just counted wrong when I was speaking to that. There is, document number 2 has 4 parcels. I might have said 4 once, but yeah, the map, I would refer to the map which has each parcel circled and there's 5 parcels.
Anybody else wishing to speak on docket 5? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address.
Sure. Rich Wilson, 249 Benedict Boulevard South. Just kind of listening, one thing that kind of intrigues me about this property is this property owner has requested something 3 times. Did I just hear that? So if that's the case, why didn't it happen the first, second, or third time? Why is it coming up again the fourth time? You know, if this guy is coming here, what are the reasons it stopped?
Yes, sir. Mr. Torgerson?
My name is Don Torgerson, 790 East Ocean Way, and I do own the property. I don't make a recommendation to the property to zone for this higher density for the better interest of the city of North Bend and the people of North Bend. If they went 4 stories high, a builder could afford to build 200,000 per unit. People are working through a city, Safeway, they serve you, they wait on you, they make $40,000 a year. You don't have to translate to what you can buy. You can buy a big chunk, $250,000, but that's it. You can't afford $800,000 houses going down the street. So I'd encourage you to supervise the city, to watch this work. You're close to services, you have that opportunity. I encourage you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else? Mr. Wilshire, just to answer your question, the last time this came up to the Planning Commission, we did recommend it, and the City Council did not approve it. Time it is. This time it's coming from the council.
So they're in support of that.
Yeah, the council is proposing it via the
document. Just to clarify, everything, there's not necessarily the proposal or support, but talking between us as something to consider that they want to do that from the Planning Commission and the citizens.
So when you say something came up, the council member can submit a item in their, what do you call it, the board or whatever?
So the way the council versions came up when you noticed when Jamie gave her presentation,
Anything else on docket number 5? Okay. Docket number 6, which is deferred until we get more information in June. It's for a neighborhood business zone to remove the ability for future construction of single family. Consider multifamily with condition of mixed use with ground floor commercial and upper floor residential. So who would like to speak for docket number 6? Anyone? Currently, if in neighborhood business, you could build single family. So in one of the other dockets, we have an area where we're considering removing neighborhood business because all that was built in neighborhood business was single family. And so this would kind of, as a way to keep a business section business for small business to have a place in our city. I guess that's the thing.
Versus having a mixed...
Well, we're getting residential only. We're not getting any business, I guess.
So I can just, and you know, the city's under a lot of pressure, and residential growth is the first one that happens. And so when you have commercial properties that allow standalone residential, when the first kind of hub of activity. This docket is kind of the intent of this docket is to consider if we want to make sure those neighborhood business areas can offer opportunity for new business, then we need to really consider whether a single family is a necessary use in it. And you know, we have enough of that happening around town. So that's why this one's here. In addition to that, through that conversation, whether multifamily should be allowed, or if it was allowed, in what capacity, whether it's a mixed use with a commercial activity below or what have you. So more information will be coming to Planning Commission in June with some work that's been done at what our council called our council committee in considering this. You heard Jamie say there's a moratorium in place right now, single family, in the NB zone. So that means a moratorium means nobody right now can build single family in the blue areas. But it also requires the city to get on this process with you, the citizens, to get your feedback as to whether that's the direction the city wants to go and then ultimately make the regulation change because we can't keep a moratorium in place in perpetuity. So there will be a lot more information coming on this, so if you want to speak tonight on it, speak, and then come back in June, and you'll feel there'll be quite a bit more information to follow up on this.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. It just came out. Docket number 6, neighborhood business zone. Who would like to speak? Yes, ma'am. Can we state your name and address again? Sorry.
This is one of the reasons that ties in with the docket request number 1, where I recommended that there actually be enough zone commercial rather than HDR on that parcel, because currently I would have actually preferred to stay neighborhood business, or at least suggested, but I didn't because it allowed for single-family residents. And
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak on docket number 6? Yes, in the back.
Hi, it's Joe Edens, 43438, Southeast 438. You know, other than the whole lines, I always felt that we're a bit of the takeoff world. And here we are, experiencing this as a world. To me, it's always a natural flow from downtown North and around us and east. But that should allow for commercial use. And I think there should be pockets of high density, but no high density would be further off the roads, so far from dispersed and scattered. I think you can allow some pockets of that, but I really think that what Jen said is correct, that first boom is going to be the housing, wholesale housing, and all of a sudden there's going to be more attraction that, wow, so maybe I should get a business in that street and start developing a business. To me, that's a natural flow for me, is you can't go west of downtown right now. There's nothing there. Go to the river, right? There's no sewer, there's no water. So natural flow is to take that north away and that east end, and I support businesses and the neighborhood business use or a commercial use. But I think multifamily is okay, just as long as you don't overdo it. Be real careful where you put it. I think there's some of the properties that would be, I can't repeat myself, off the road anyway, that are from those, so the traffic is not so intense. So I that's just my attitude.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else for docket number 6? Yes?
I'm just concerned that the underlying blue code would have been neighborhood business around the city might not make underlying sense. And it might be different on the east side of the city versus the west side. So I would just recommend that that you guys study this to look at that underlying neighborhood business code and see if it seems to work in each of the areas you guys have designated as neighborhood business.
Councilmember Rosen. Are you currently underway in a process kind of evaluating this zone and what the uses are allowed in neighborhood business? So that might be coming to us?
Yeah, that should be pretty much done. Yeah. In the last several months.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add on this council request?
Give me something specific and I'll answer for it.
Any other comments on docket number 6? Okay, seeing none, docket number 7. This is North Bend Way Street Standards. A bigger planter strip, biochannel, and North Bend Way and outside of downtown. Okay, who would like to speak on number 7? Yes, sir, in the back. Right, anybody else wishes to speak on item number 7?
Yeah, Michael Thomas, 1231 Forest Drive, SP. I think this one calls for actually a further study. I have some concerns around North Bend Way SD from traffic circle 430 Stibbs. And it's actually out of a concern that actually happened with the cottages at North Bend. If you increase the buffer requirement along North Bend Way, if you just take away the buffer from Cedar Falls Way SD, and I am appalled at what happened at the property there. No trees were preserved along Cedar Falls Way SD. And big refuge, okay, that's a stunning drive. I drive it every day. So if you're increasing the buffers along North Bend Way, are you sacrificing the vegetation that was along Cedar Falls Way SD? So I think you need to consider this in conjunction with more preservation along Cedar Falls Way SD. In fact, it's very strong preservation along that way. In fact, the concessions given, like Cedar Falls, the CCRs for Forest Home, 15 feet preserved vegetation on Cedar Falls Way SD. I'm also concerned that perhaps we need a different idea here. Should we have a combined pedestrian and bike path? Do you ever anticipate roads needing to widen the two lanes to support commercial traffic? The town is growing out that way. I'm a little concerned about that. So, you know, is there a compromise? In fact, how it's handled along Cedar Falls Way SD, as far as I can tell, is there's a very wide shoulder. I see lots of people walking along Cedar Falls Way SD, biking, whatever. You know, is that a possibility? I know we've got the plan for the trail, the bioswale there, but are we taking too much away from the roadway capacity in that area? So perhaps a different idea, maybe in order to address, you know, South North Bend Way SD between the traffic circle and 436. Again, I'm just concerned that we need to take it away from one side and also, okay, how do you affect the stuff on the other side of Cedar Falls Way SD? And do we also need to do something for long-term traffic planning? Do we ever anticipate the two lanes each way? Because that is a major thoroughfare for the bus development going on there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else for docket number 7? Yes, sir.
And it's very similar to what he just said. To what I was going to add, and I think he mentioned it. I'm trying to keep better exposure than I gave up. By not knowing a lot of trees, so we lost this beautiful flower and chair in front of our home when we talked to Andre. Now, here's another one right down there by the Montessori, just like that. And the trees, I think, in front of him, bring up Fourth Street, go down every day. I saw it in the plant there that they had the trees all designated as to what kind of trees were going to be planted along that way in this concept. So, and I think I just assumed that that meant we're going to take out all the beautiful trees. So, I'm not in favor of the way it is. I'm in favor of keeping the trail, especially the trail, the old railroad bridge, on the south side of the North End Way, as it is, or not the modern, what you call improvements. So they aren't improvements.
Thank you for your comments. And your name again was?
Jim
Sir?
Sales.
Jim Sales. Anybody else wishes to speak on docket number 7? Yes, sir.
Jim Graham, 681 East North End Way. We've lived in our parcel now 47 years, and you're talking about putting a bioswale where the grove trees are. I've never seen a drop of water in that area. I cannot imagine why you would possibly need to go to the expense of removing the
anybody else for number 7? Seeing none. Docket number 8, which is neighborhood business zone along 140th Avenue, taking a section of that neighborhood business and rezoning it to LDR. Anybody wishing to speak on docket number 8? Yes, sir.
I had a meeting yesterday at 3 o'clock with Mike McCarty.
Okay.
And I was a little uninformed about this.
Could you, after you're done, state your name and address for the record? Go ahead.
I told him to make 8. Be responsible. Anyway, if you could just turn to page 3.
Sir, could you state your name and address for the record?
Tom Weber, 48970 Southeast Middle Fork Road, North End. Born and raised on Maloney's Grove.
Yep, 3 minutes.
You can turn to that
edge. 3. You're not numbered, is it? Which photograph? Okay.
That's an actual aerial photo of the property. This is the triangle. Existing mini storage business has been there for 25 years. It's a non-conforming use right now in neighborhood business. And I fought that at the annexation, but I lost, and it became neighborhood business, so it's a non-conforming use. So it's, what do you do? It needs to be EP2. The surrounding properties are all EP2. We've got 2 contractors' yards and 2 mini storages. And a warehouse. I can't put apartments in there. That doesn't make any sense. The property to the west is residential. There's 5 fairly new houses that were built in the last 10 years. I established a landscape buffer between my property and those houses. Nobody made me do it. I did it for future planning to protect my commercial property. And if you turn one page, you'll see that landscape buffer. That picture was taken today. So we have a great separation between residential and commercial, or EP2, established. And there's a copy of the easement that was recorded with King County for that landscape buffer attached. I need this EP2 zoning to be able to do anything with this property. A nice little business park would be great. We could have, I mean, we could, you know, EP2 would allow a great use for this property. Neighborhood business doesn't work. I mean, it's a residential zone. It's like a multifamily zone or something. I mean, I'm not going to build apartments right in there. I mean, that's just not a good place at all. So I've owned the property since 19... No, I've owned the property for 30 years. And it's an investment. And to zone it residential low density, it cost me a fortune. Nobody's mentioned that tonight, but this is investment, and we have to consider that too. Property's worthless as low density residential. Nobody's going to build a house there. So there you go. Okay. You've got information.
Just to be clear, you want it to be what?
EP2.
Same as the other properties adjoining you. Makes sense.
Just so I understand, can you point out on the map where this number 3 is out here? Is it this right here?
I'm number 8. The third page?
Third page.
Yeah, that's the very last piece, right there at the edge of the blue.
Thank you.
That's right. Yeah.
Was it always low density, or was it
County. No, the mini storage was established in King County, and it was commercial property. And then the annexation, it became a business while I was in Mexico. And I come back, and it's like, what? So.
Is this right adjacent to the outside tavern?
Yes, between the warehouse and the tavern.
Yeah, could you actually just point it out for the audience? I think that would help.
This is a hard one. Okay, this is all gray here. It's the line, it's the blue line between the blue and the gray.
It's a straight line.
And so, just want to clarify with staff, isn't this the area that you asked us to also consider for EP use?
Yeah, and I just want to make sure for clarification. In the planning commission packets, there is a proposal that the properties to the north would go to LDR, and the properties along the Fenway would stay NB. Your property is not proposed to go to LDR.
According to my information, they wanted to split it. The back half was going to be LDR, and the front half was going to be NB. And now I get a new email that says, "Okay, we're going to be EP2, which is perfect." But this property does not adjoin the property. This property doesn't touch the property. There's a residential. Okay. So anyway, all it is a simple matter of taking and using my landscape buffer as the division between the residential and the EP2. It's that simple. It's already established.
Anybody else wishing to speak on docket number 8?
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. In the back. Thank
you.
Just to clarify, his parcel is not to LDR, it's to EP2. There's three kind of changes happen. Well, two changes. One is that some of the neighborhood business would change to LDR because it developed into LDR. On that corner piece where he is, that triangle, the staff pointed out that they want us to consider making that EP2. So. Yeah, okay. Is there any comment on the...
The packet information says that circles the area that we're talking about, and it says consider to be, could be either NB or EP2. So the planning commission's consideration on this issue will be to those two non-LDR.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else wishing to speak on number 8? Yes.
My name is Thomas. I'm actually a 7218 Northway, Northway, Washington. I agree that it should be adjacent to a major transportation port or other industrial uses. Neighborhood business doesn't really make sense given the adjoining uses and proximity to the freeway and the frontage road that runs parallel to I-90.
Thank you. Yes, Jean.
Basically, I personally would be against this because it's just increasing the amount of EP2. And from a citywide perspective, and in trying to be consistent with our vision and mission as a rural community and as a tourist destination, we're trying to reduce the amount of EP2 and bring in development that is conducive to our mission and maybe to specific needs the city has.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Jobs.
Anybody else want to speak on docket number 8? Okay, seeing none. Docket number 9, which is DP1 zone, no residential uses. This is also a council item. Anybody wishing to speak on docket number 9? Seeing none, Jean?
Yeah, I would ask why you're treating the west side of the town differently than the east side.
This is a zone change.
To allow residential in EP1 zone west of downtown. So in other words, it would allow EP1 residential in EP1 east of downtown. Why are you just focusing on one side of town?
Is that all?
Question.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak on docket number 9? Thank you for your comment. Anybody else wishing to speak on docket number 9? Anybody else on docket number 9? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Doesn't
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else on docket number 9?
And I would also echo that a city needs to have EP1, EP2, and commercial zonings because we need to have jobs. So you can't lock the whole thing up and not have commercial zoning and expect to have people be able to work in our community and have revenue streams and not have people traveling from outside the, to outside of the community for their work.
Thank you. Okay, anything else on docket number 9? Okay, docket number 10, which is neighborhood business zone property located in the USOD overlay, no single family, no multifamily. So this is another council retreat item. Is there anybody who wishes to comment on docket number 10?
Can we see where it is on the map that
USOD overlay?
USOD, you know,
yes.
The neighborhood business?
USOD.
Right.
But it's
USOD,
okay. Yeah, USOD.
Small ranch area, but we're focusing on the portion. I think Colgate and Meadow Brook Farm and preserved basically the view of Mount Sky at that from that portion. There was a large development that was proposed. And anyway, so this created a zone that was a little more restricted. And so it provided a layer over the underlying zoning. So in that area of town, you have two different zones. You have the NB zone and you have the constrained residential zone. And then on top of that, lays an additional regulation layer called the urban separator overlay district. It has lower height required allowances and things like that. So this provision is saying, this provision is actually suggesting that there would be no residential in this area beyond in the blue area. We had this little pocket of residential that you probably know, you know, on the south side of 202. That can still stay. This is just the blue area in that little area of town.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are we looking across from Calvary Chapel or the churches and the sports places? Are there going to be a sports arena?
There is a proposal for a
With that, I'd like to invite people to speak for docket number 10. Is there anybody who wishes to speak?
So, where this blue is established so that the houses are
in. So, in the blue area, what you have is you have mulch, and so you have the current Chinook lumber, the storage facility at the Encompass. So, that area right now is kind of created a little commercial hub, for lack of a better way to explain it. There has been interest.
Yes. Paula?
Paula, hold on, 435 South East Main Boulevard. Well, my opinion is no residential that way. It's nice as it is now, the open space. Now it took us a long time to purchase Meadowbrook. We've got our wonderful toll gate now. Yeah, I think it should just stay the way it is.
Thank you. Yes, Jean.
I mean, everybody loves green open spaces in place for the elk, and it just appears to me that if you look at the west side of the city, there's a lot of green and a lot of protection. If you look at the right side of the city, and not so much. We've got a lot of EP2, EP1. Now they're looking at building a 212-unit apartment complex on the Goldberg property, if anybody knows where that is. And no one is, you haven't heard anybody talk about maintaining our views on the east side, maintaining, you know, the look and feel and the view of Mount Si, which is going to be eradicated in part by that potential development. So it just feels to me that, you know, that the west side is being protected, and you don't want residential, and you don't want EP2, and you want more parks. We want the same thing on the east side of town. So that's what I would have to say, is that it just, when I read and I see this for the east and this for the west, from my perspective, that doesn't feel fair.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else on docket number 10? Yes, Rich.
Rich Wilshire, 249 Medical Boulevard South. I work for an international company, so we have a lot of people all over the world come here. You know, guys I work with, gals I work with. And I bring them out here to Brooklyn. And one of the things that my wife and I take them to is that area right there, so they can see the belt, they can see the mountain, they can see it, because all this east side is just getting too cramped, and it's not there. So that's really underneath. You see these people outside of the U.S. come in, you see these big elk just standing by the side of the river. They're like little kids that can't swim. So I think any type of building that matters, I don't agree with it all, whether it's business or residential. I think what we have there is really kind of, it's nice, you know, to get you out of what's happening right here. It's just right by the corner. You know? So that's kind of my perspective. Internationally, I think that my friend will say the same thing. So,
thank you.
We have help too on the east side of town.
Anybody, excuse me, anybody else for docket number 10?
I just have a question. So is the area adjacent to the blue?
It is the blue area.
It is the blue area, okay. So currently there are other commercial businesses in that area that we just spoke about. But right now, the use allows, because of this neighborhood business, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it EP1?
Neighborhood business.
Okay, I'll get up again. Wendy Thomas, so from the Southeast, from Portland, Washington. Again, I'm a big fan of adjacencies that make good sense. And so, if you already have commercial occurring in that area, low profile commercial. It's an employment center. And if you have allowable use for housing, like you say, it will be the thing that people try to infill with, because it's the least expensive thing for them to create as developers and capitalize on the property. But would then create difficulty for further commercial uses, perhaps, or not getting the highest and best use from that piece of property that's adjacent to the low profile commercial that already exists. So I would be in favor of saying no residential in that area.
Thank you.
I have one comment.
Yes, sir.
Who would want to build a single family
I'm sorry, could you please?
Tom Werber, 4970 South East Moore Road, Burnett. Wouldn't want to build a single family residence on neighborhood business zoning. It doesn't make any sense anywhere. I mean, neighborhood business allows multifamily upstairs, commercial downstairs. It allows all kinds of things. Why is this even an issue? I don't understand it. I don't get it. But
this came up in a retreat, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Does it get rectified if the, is there another docket that asks that single family residential be included?
Yeah. There's a couple of docket requests. One is to remove single family from neighborhood business, and then this is specifically in this overlay, which is treated a little bit differently, to say no single family and no multifamily at all.
So it's completely revoked.
Yes.
So it wouldn't get completely resolved if the other docket request was approved.
Correct.
I see.
Okay. Anybody else for docket number 10? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close our public hearing at 8:58. And I just wanted to thank you, all of you, for coming out and for all of your comments, and invite you to stay as we'll continue to discuss this. And I have some questions for staff based on some of your comments, and I'm sure the Planning Commission also has some. So with that, first question I want to ask is on traffic. We've heard a lot of people. We had a lot of people talk about traffic. And I'm going to ask this in a couple of different parts, I guess. One is, when somebody develops, you do a traffic study and an impact analysis. But my question is not about the impact analysis, but how far we measure. And the reason I'm asking this is because you think about the grocery store that we have, where the baseball fields are, where the soccer fields are, where the pool is, and they're all in this little area of about a quarter mile. And so if we're going to develop anywhere in our city, do we calculate everybody going to that point on North Bend Way? So I guess I'll ask Mike. Yeah. Are we able to influence those traffic studies at all that they do? And the reason why I'm asking that, if you look at our average age and our households and the number of kids that we have, we think about where do they go to school and where the schools are located. And if they're in preschool, you know, then they're in half days. So there's multiple trips that you go to that school in a day. So that I just want to know, can we influence it all?
Yes and no. Process, somebody like myself or a traffic consultant team will look at that. It's kind of like with any development process, the engineer will design it and the road has to do a peer review. Sometimes we'll agree with their assessment of how the chairs are distributed, and sometimes we don't. But it will be a bit of a process of how we analyze intersections in that process.
And Mike, I just want to add, three times a week, I have three trips that I go past QFC. So that's six times I pass it a day. And I can't see how a traffic study captures that. And I think what I'm sensing, you know, is what I experience when I'm driving and the wait times that have increased, especially at Park Street. And I understand that roundabout is supposed to happen next year. Is that correct?
From yes, so the Park Street roundabout is going to be constructed in 2018 and finalized in 2018. It's funded.
When you say funded, is that from what? How did it get funded? Is that TIP?
I don't have exact details. Tom Moore or Public Works.
We did receive a large grant.
Okay. So I know there were some TIP funds, right? The Transportation Improvement District, right, helped that. And so when we have somebody that's going to develop all the way back on Maloney Grove all the way to QFC, and they're going to have multiple intersections, is that something that developer pays for 100%, or is there any sharing or any part on the city's behalf?
Yeah, it greatly depends on whether or not that's going to be a transportation improvement plan or not. First, I'll speak to what happens in concurrency with the intersection of the plan. The developer comes in, like larger one, Dollar and River Run, and the level of service drops below a D to an E or an F, then that developer is required by the city code to make mitigation efforts at their own expense. For intersections that are on our plan, if that level of service does drop during the study, a portion of their traffic impact is going to be credited to that. So let's take Dollar and example, 436 North Way. It's still being fully analyzed, but it's looking likely that they actually triggered level of service failure. And since it's on our traffic impact plan, they will construct it and have that credit towards their impacts.
Okay, thank you. Next question I heard was about I can't remember what they called it. It's the rail trail, the old trail that runs along North Bend Way, the Tanner Trail. And so can you just tell us again who owns that and what we're able to do with it?
So you're speaking, I think this came up with the docket related to the street standards. Okay. So Tanner Trail is Burlington Northern right away. We're right now, as a city, working to determine whether the Burlington Northern right-of-way is automatically a city easement. So, but there is a Burlington Northern right-of-way there, and the trail is a Senate. So that's outside of the street, 100%. So that area will be a trail. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I just thought you had said previously that it was not owned by the city.
Well, we're right now looking into actually, as part of our city hall development, we're actually looking into the details and deeds of the railway right of way. It has, in theory, been owned by the railroad. They have sold to certain property owners over time. But as we look to build out Tanner Trail, we're looking at whether we just naturally get a reciprocal easement. But it's open.
Okay. And then the other question about that was somebody concerned about, a business owner losing property to create the bike lanes. Is this kind of within our own right-of-way where we don't have to infringe on a property, or is this something where that property owner would have to give away some frontage?
So North Bend Way right-of-way is actually incredibly large because it used to be the highway. I think it's 70 feet. So you'll notice in your regulations it says where the right-of-way exceeds 70 feet, you shall provide a landscaping. So there is a lot of space in there that undulates pretty wide. So far, the property
sewer cost, and that's the deepest pipe, and that's
yeah.
the most expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sewer and water capacity. I understood from going to council meetings that our new sewer system will have capacity for something like 12 to 14,000 when it's completed. Is that still the design of it?
Yes, that is correct. We're currently in the process of making some upgrades to the city treatment plant that will occur within the next few years.
Sidewalks to Opstead Elementary. As somebody who lives by Twin Falls Middle School, when that was being built, I called King County Roads and said, there's no way for the kids who are required to walk to the school to get there safely. And they came out within a couple weeks and they put in a paved area alongside the road for the kids to walk. Is the city ever have plans to develop sidewalks so the kids who are required to walk to Opstead can do so safely?
Are you talking along Stilson or where are you talking specifically?
Yes. Well,
yes,
within the mile radius or whatever.
Yeah, there will still be connections within that walk radius that we know about, but it's just going to take some time. The Cedar Falls, Cedar Landing Quadrant Development will provide a meandering path within right-of-way from their development up to Austin.
A meandering path or a sidewalk?
It'll be paved, but it will be a meandering. It's a meandering.
And there'll be a buffer there?
It's
just because they
right.
drive so fast along.
Right, there'll be a curb. It'll be a curb.
I guess fourth or second would be a really big concern. Just drive along.
I just have one more question left, then I want to open up to the rest of the Planning Commission, so sorry for taking so much time. That's right. Bioswales. I understand, you know, necessary as you're going to pave more, you know, you have to account for that water, but are they required, you know, in every instance, or is it just to keep it consistent? Is it easier just to develop the whole thing? What's the science, I guess, behind it?
The science really goes back to the 2000 Endangered Species Act. So the current stormwater annual King County Surface Water Inspection brings us into compliance with this. Any impervious surface that's pollution carriers, whether
would like to go next?
For your benefit and related to some of your comments, I'll pass this, if you guys can pass that down. That's our 2017 2022 TIP project. This was the article that Gary had emailed to everybody. It's a great article. You guys read it. And then we did receive comments from Michael Thomas on the Planning Commission procedures and some of the traffic discussions. So pass that out. And finally, some emails and clarification from the public works staff to the chair on that traffic issue. So, some nighttime reading material.
Are we under a Paper Reduction Act?
Oh, yeah. Going to be.
Thank you.
The only other thing I think I wanted to see is street plans. And that goes in part, I guess, to traffic and how we're thinking about the future. And the last time we had anything like this was when we opened up our comprehensive plan and we saw other ways to get around our city on the... I think it's the south side. Yes, the south side. So I'm not sure what the connector piece was. Yeah, you probably know there, that road that would go around.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Yeah, could you give us a detail on that? Or what would... Well, what would trigger that road being built? Or, you know, how do we get it done so we have another east-west route to have?
Is it the Southeast 20th extension?
Well, there's a road that comes under the freeway already. Is that the one?
Yeah. So it's okay if you guys, you need to get it to us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. So the other thing, I apologize, the next traffic study that will measure North Bend Way, Maloney Grove, Cedar Falls, and any other intersections, how are we going to plan that out and when will that take place? My concern is I'd like to see us capture June, July, August, September as really important critical months to understand what the peak usage is and then have another study in October, November to understand residential, you know, typical usage. I'd really think that that would be an interesting data to understand how we swell and how we are normal.
Yes, actually. We counseling study to especially measure the
brought to mind one of my questions about that area always, and just to make it clear what I'm talking about right now for everybody. You know, this area through here where we had the dockets. There is a road that goes under I-90 already at the end of that. And I guess it's always been a concern of mine in that area that we don't really have an alternative way to get those people out. Are there any plans to connect that, at least to provide some sort of, because right now it kind of dead ends, but it's not very far away from linking into one of the other roads on the other side, so that we have an alternative route to get people out of that area if for some reason. I'm thinking.
In all seriousness, what you're asking for is a levee break evacuation route.
Yes, I might think about that frequently. It would be. But there are other issues. We could have a fire, for example, that comes down over that area. And the question is, how do we get those increasing numbers of people out of that area in a quick way when right now, essentially, they all have to move out this way to capture, down the Cedar Falls or over the Manistee Colony Grove and out onto North Bend Way. So do we have that? Is that even something that's been considered? I know it's in the urban growth boundary, barely, on that other side. But is that something that's even been discussed in terms of long range and life safety?
You could clarify. So you're talking about the areas south. If you continue down Colony Grove.
Right.
And continue south past the
it goes under, and then it kind of dead ends, and then but you can see that there's a road that kind of comes in, and it just doesn't connect.
Right, right. So that area is pretty far outside the city limits. I know that's not necessarily a full case.
Something in our thought processes, at least, to address that issue of how do we get people out of there if they can't go out the way they do now.
Okay. I have lots more things that are related to dockets specifically that covered my questions based on the public comment. Anybody else have any other questions before we get into our items?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Could we limit or focus our discussion to things that are relevant to the guests that we have tonight and then delay further consideration until a future meeting? The amount of information that we've received tonight and just kind of time to digest that?
I'm hearing your concern, and I share your concern of making sure that we're thorough. So we're not in a rush to make a decision.
No, but I think we also have a good opportunity with a couple people who aren't normally here tonight to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, any questions you have, I just kind of asked what I heard from the audience.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got that covered. So if you have any questions, fire away.
I don't. I think.
Yes, sir.
My comment is kind of where Curtis was going that I don't know if you got, actually, and it's to, instead of just kind of having general questions, just like jump into kind of voting on these dockets, you know, just right away. And then any questions that come up can be addressed within that particular docket.
Yep.
And then focused on that one.
And I'll add to it, my comment was going to be, and I've said this before, prioritizing starts with these dockets requests are focused on a single person's property, that's the first place I'm going to go to answer the question that this person's put to us.
That
if
would
it
be,
involves multiple owners and they're not all on the same page, then we've got some more discussion to have.
That would be docket 2 and 3. The Planning Commission agrees. Do you want to discuss docket 2 and 3?
Low-hanging fruit.
So back to document 3 then. This is the Carson. Who'd like to go first?
I just want to clarify, this request was made by the property owner, is that?
Yes.
And he's basically asking it that we put it back the way it was. Somebody else is going to step up. I've already done my suggestion is let the man have what we took back away. Let him have what he wants. That's what he's asking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll. I'm teeter tottering on this one. I struggle with wanting to, as I mentioned in the last meeting, wanting to allow more density, considering everything. I've thought about something that you suggested last time, being intentional in our concentration, not wanting it to expand. And I don't know exactly how this fits in, but I also see it as this is a person's private property. And it doesn't sound like they're fully considered in the decision that took away stuff from them, and that just seems unjustified. Therefore, I'm leaning a certain way that would restore that in favor of the property owner.
Is anybody willing to make a motion?
I move we approve the docket request as requested.
What docket number?
Docket number 2. Is that correct?
Andrew?
I need to double check my comment.
They're in the same order.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
Yes, for the same. Principle, yes.
So,
2 and 3.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky to approve docket 2 and 3. Is there a second?
I'll have to second it.
Okay. Second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Discussion. So we heard from Commissioner Von Trapp a little bit. Do you want to add any more?
I would be interested to hear what the other commissioners have to kind of sway me out of the way.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. Gildersleeve.
This constrained density low residential was kind of started out of the suggestion I made when we were throwing targets at Matt. And one of the things that's of interest to me on this is that these are some of the properties that were brought in the expansion. So the original intent behind that was to identify properties that had constraint already, primarily because they were in the special flood hazard area or had a portion of the property that went into the floodway. And as happens in the process and everybody putting their 2 cents in and modifying it, it was adjusted to recognize other areas with similar sensitivities, the steep slopes that we see on the property that's over to the east. That's in that same CLDR. These properties are not. They don't meet that original definition.
Right.
And I think going back and talking about that and recognizing that they were expanded to be included because that kind of that whole swath just got grabbed, as I think was described by one of the comments. I do, however, that said, have some concerns about that area. And I did, my question points to one of them. But that is something that's addressed in the process of review. And what are we going to require for streets? What are we going to require of a development or someone who's bringing something up for consideration? It doesn't necessarily, 4 houses or 2 houses, we're not talking about the risk associated with the special flood hazard area. Though it is very close. I don't know if you, I ended up drawing the map on my little one to overlay the special flood hazard area. It's one of these weird things that happens in our maps around here. It stops the road in a straight line. You'll also notice a straight line around the U.S. Postal Service building. Water doesn't usually follow straight lines.
So it may be that that road was up high enough that it just didn't get captured. It may have been one of these negotiated boundaries that were prevalent in our maps that just hasn't been reviewed. But right now, it's not in there. So it doesn't fit my original kind of thought in doing that, which is so that when someone's looking at our zoning map, they know when they look at it, it's a property that has unusual concerns to it. So I'm kind of fence-sitting a little bit because I'm concerned about that area. I don't necessarily trust the maps. A lot of people outside of that marks on the map get hit by flooding. But at the same time, if we use my original logic, it doesn't fit those properties.
I just have a question for staff. With 42 acres, what is the park requirement? 42 acres of a, like, say, if you're going to develop 180, right, 180 homes, 40, what times, 160, whatever, how many parks would they be required?
So there would be the park impact fee per lot, which is around 10,000, no, 4, sorry, and then the 5% overall. So, yeah, any development has to provide 5%. If it's under 40 units, that's where you can pay a fee in lieu on top of your impact fees for that 5% for a number of reasons.
So, in that case, the Planning Commission can't condition a property, but we can put in our recommendation. And that would be up to the Planning Commission if we felt a five-acre park with ball fields and play yard, like a playground or something out on that side of town, which has never been planned or considered, maybe we ought to make that a condition of development on this property if the Planning Commission recommends it.
I'm not in favor of, in the context of this motion or other relief to the owner who's suggesting he wants something we took away from him. Throw on another burden.
I don't say it's another burden. I'm trying to equate it between the fees he would pay and how that would relate to, instead of doing a bunch of pocket parks, one main park.
It sounded to me like the owners were saying they wanted to go back and not do a darn thing.
Yes.
They can play baseball in their backyard as long as they want.
Well, then it should be one home per acre.
I like that as an interesting creative suggestion, yeah. As a contingency that if, I mean, 30 years down the road, it's passed on to a next generation who doesn't have the same views that this current one and current owners do, or if it's sold off. I think it's got foresight and preservation in mind. I like that idea. Because it doesn't apply at all to the current owners.
So I'd have to ask my colleague, Mr. Lucky, if he'd accept a friendly amendment.
I struggle with how you could be specific enough to be effective in outlining whatever it is that you're thinking of. I don't know how you could do that without it being just really confusing to the process. I like the idea as well, but my mind is not looking at this docket request and saying we're going to change the rules and approve this now. It's kind of like we're being asked to decide on what he's asking and not go off on a tangent.
I disagree because when somebody brings a docket to us, we can decide whether or not we accept that or change it to something different. That's all in our purview when it's opened up.
Okay, then I would offer this. Somebody who's thinking of using the docket process to make a change might be reluctant in the future because he never knows what he's going to get back. All of a sudden he's got a car lot and he has no idea of talking about it.
I hear you. It's an idea.
Yeah. I like the park thing. I just don't see it in this context.
Okay. So back to your motion to approve item 2 and 3. Is there further comment?
My comments. I think in general it's a difficult one, but I think I would recommend leaving it as it is. I think what Elizabeth said, it's possible if there was a detailed assessment, it could be in the floodplain. We don't know. It's very close. But regardless, it does fit what is the CLDR description of having the larger lots and the rural character. It was recently passed by the city council, and it fits kind of what the city's vision statement is, and I think what residents have wanted. So, kind of where just some thoughts I have on this one.
One of the reasons that I took another drive, actually this evening on my way here, was that it is one of those areas that you can see off of I-90. I wanted to make sure of what is visible. And there's a great deal of tree cover along the road, but you can see through there. So one of the things that I think that we have been protecting is this kind of U-shed. You might come into this really dense downtown core where we're very clearly more becoming a suburb more than a little town. And that is one of the spots that still maintains this when they see it. You get those glimpses of old houses and barns and open spaces. It's one of the few places that you still get that. That was my concern. And then, of course, as you pull forward, the road comes under there, which I had mentioned, the one up that you can clearly see kind of just disappeared in nowhere on the other side. But that when you look off to the right, as you go through there, you can see that road, and any development that went in there, it'll be noticed. It destroys the illusion that we are still truly here. So that's why I'm kind of fence-sitting on this. And the only reason that I might go the other way on this is the fact that it, according to the current map and what we have, the best available data, those properties are not in the special factor. They do, however, fit the new definition of the CLDR versus what it originally was, when first proposed.
So I don't know if I can move anybody off the fence. When you drive that road and you feel that it's rural, right, and there's no sense about that, and then you come up to the development and it changes drastically and it's pretty sudden and it's not far apart. That said, how we stretch our city and where we stretch our city and how that goes, whether we're ready for it today or not, I've not seen a decision that we've made happen, you know, until 5 or 6 years down the road, and so I'm not, like, in fear that next year things change. It's 5, 10, 15 years from now. One of the items that we were handed out was a link that I had sent to the staff to provide to the Planning Commission, and it was on home data and home availability, and there's about a 30-day supply on the market. Whether or not that's the problem of North Bend or not is not necessarily the question. My fear is this. I love our mountains, and as Dick Ryan has said, I don't want to see anybody build further up Rattlesnake Mountain. And so if the legislature is faced with the problem of how do we fit more people in to fill all the jobs that we've created in this region, and we want to move the urban growth boundary, I'd rather have the growth inside our city than outside our city. Yes, ma'am.
The senior center just informed me that the gal who works here is going home, and she has a family. She's the only one that can have the code and the security, so that she'd prefer we wrap it up. Are we also going to kick out the senior
center? Close the down.
That being said, it's at 9:35. Clearly, Gio will be docked.
Call the question. Motion before. before you is to approve docket items 2 and 3. Any further comment? Seeing none.
Can you wait a second to call a vote?
I'm sorry?
Can you just like wait 30 seconds to call a vote? I feel like sometimes we get rushed into this and I'm still on the fence.
Okay. I'm on the fence too.
I would actually like to make a motion to table and not vote on this.
Is there a second?
A second.
So we have to, Robert's rules, we have to finish up the other one. So when you give me the order, I will draw my motion. It always falls into place.
Okay. Thank you. With that, anything for good of the order in a very quick fashion? Thank you, Planning Commission, and I look forward to hearing more thoughts on all the reading that we have before. Thank you, staff and council, for coming. I wanted to drill you more. I didn't get to have my questions. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second? Motion by Commissioner Von Trapp, second by Commissioner Lucky. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Commission is adjourned. It's 9:37. How do you stop that? Jenna, how do you stop that?